happening was the change of music and the food we were in this place that we would just take this moment for what it is, Lord, and just be able to embrace the message, Lord, and just be able to hear the words and apply it to our lives. So, Lord, I pray this in your name. I'll collect the music.
You know what? Hold on to one. Hold on to the Your Love is Extravagant one, because it's kind of fitting for where we're going to end up today. And I didn't catch it until just now. That chorus says, spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend. Capture my heart again. We might come back to that at the end here. For the years that we've been doing this since I've been here, what tends to happen for me is I think about being outside and the nature and all the stuff we're out and about, and my mind always goes to, like, parables, that kind of stuff, because, you know, Jesus was outside when he taught a lot of times. That's just where my brain goes. And this morning, I can't shake the feeling that I did something with these lately, and if that's the case, I apologize, but hopefully that's for good reason that the Lord's bringing it up again. But it's two really short parables that kind of sprung the stuff I want to share this morning. But before we do that, I want you to pretend for a second, and we're going to all do this together, and I want you to pretend that you have unlimited money, all right? Like, money is no object to you. You could spend as much as you wanted on anything you wanted at any time. Like, you would be the king at auctions, right? You could get anything you wanted. And I'm going to name some items, and I want you to speak out how much money you would be willing to spend to acquire that item. Okay? Does that make sense?
$1.
All right, so the man in the Superman shirt has bid $1 on a signed Dak Prescott jersey.
$1.
How much money would you be willing to spend on that? Anyone else? The Cowboys fans are awfully silent.
All right, I'll be back for a dollar.
Wow.
We can get it for him for Christmas.
I thought I'd get something out of that one.
Jersey, like a stall box, dude.
Okay, what would you do for that?
Not much.
Wow.
Maybe 10.
You guys are stingy. All right. What about an original painting by Vincent van Gogh?
Take my money. Yeah. Take it.
Zero.
Lots of money.
You guys are awfully specific with these numbers. Yeah. Lots.
Well, what's the starting bid?
You have unlimited money, so yeah. This yeah. is the top yeah. you yeah. would...
Bidding like, doesn't mean that you go in all the way crazy. Like, you want to start off...
The cheapest you can,
you can work
right?
your way up.
What I'm saying is, what is the most you'd be like, this is my cutoff. I can't spend any more than this on that.
I don't think I'd spend more than $5,000 on a painting.
$5,000, then you can't get close to it.
To a Van Gogh.
All right, what about, and this one is real, a time-traveling DeLorean.
Zero.
Yeah, it's a little before your time, Willow. Sorry.
We can go back in time. I don't know if I'm going to do this over again.
I don't want to go back.
All right, I heard $10,000 on that one. All right, and this is the big one. What amount of money would you be willing to spend to never have to file taxes ever again?
$1 billion.
Oh.
That's
All right. Well, it's kind of silly, but, you know, just in that little exercise, we see how we all value things a little differently, right? What was maybe has some value for someone, doesn't have any for someone else. It's that old saying, right? One man's trash is another man's treasure. Sometimes you hear about, like, news items about auctions where weird stuff sells for crazy amounts of money, and you're just like, what on earth? I've got a couple more that I'll share here from Reader's Digest, because I'm over 30 now, so I read Reader's Digest. There was an art piece in Miami that sold, and it might not seem so strange. People like art. This one was called Comedian, and it sold for $120,000. Now, it's art, you know, people buy stuff for that. But this one was kind of unique because it was a banana duct taped to a wall, and that was it. That was the art. Now, I'm no art critic, but I think I could recreate that for like $5. Of course, I don't have the name appeal, but
I would give $20 for that.
Hey, all right. We still have bananas at home, right?
Now they're in the freezer.
Ah!
All right,
the last one.
Yeah. This isn't well-preserved. You could not duct tape that to a wall.
Around the year 2000, the height of boy bandom, there was, from NSYNC, Justin Timberlake was on a morning radio show in New York, and he left some of his uneaten French toast breakfast behind. And so the station's DJ put it on sale on eBay, and a teenage girl, bought it for a little over $1,000. Uneaten French toast from Justin Timberlake.
A teenage girl has $1,000?
Apparently, or parents who...
Think about it.
No, they probably took their mom's credit card.
Could be. Another art piece that sold was a 3-foot rabbit made out of stainless steel, created in 1986, and in 2019, how much would you think that would sell for?
In this world,
a 3-foot rabbit made out of stainless steel made in 1986.
What's the significance of it?
$3,000?
It's just a random person.
The guy apparently had some name appeal or something, but I didn't know who it was. That doesn't mean anything, though.
Okay.
I heard 5,000. I heard 3,000. Anyone else? Put on your seatbelts, $91 million.
What?
Woo!
A
3-foot
stainless
steel.
Wow.
It did look like a rabbit, though. I'll give it that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. The chair that author J.K. Rowling sat in as she wrote her first two Harry Potter books. I know a couple of you are Harry Potter people. That was sold at auction in 2016 for $394,000. So there's that. And then last but not least, someone paid $15,000 to acquire a flowered porcelain toilet that once belonged to John Lennon of the Beatles. Yeah. So here's the whole point. Value is relative, right? Some of you hear those prices and go, that is ridiculous. And then some of you might actually say, well, if I had the money, I would bid on that. But we look at things and we value them differently, right? You know, value, each of us can see the same thing and we say, wow, that's awesome. And others of us are like, oh, okay. Sometimes value is just relative for us between times, right? Like, I like cashews, but cashews are kind of an expensive snack in the snack realm. Like, to get a container of them, it's like $12. So most of the time, they're just not worth it for me. But then every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? Cashews sound good. I'm gonna spring for them. That's how exorbitant my lifestyle is. Here's what I'm getting at for this morning. This idea of value being a relative thing kind of applies to the gospel as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, the message of the gospel is the same to everyone, right? In its most basic form, the most popular verse that we hear in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That message is the same to all peoples. But to those who hear that and choose to reject it, it's worthless. It's foolishness. To any who choose to accept it, it's everything. It is the power of God displayed in the life of the believer. So we can look at the gospel, hear that message, and value it differently, even though we're all looking at the same thing. And, you know, the same goes for that time aspect of value as well, that I can value the gospel more at some points in my life and lower at different points in my other points in my life. So, like, I value, in general, I value the gospel a lot more now than I did when I was, like, 13. So that happens in our life, too. But there is one difference when it comes to the value of the gospel. In reality, the gospel's value isn't based on outside sources, right? It is the one thing that is valuable in and of itself. It is the only thing of value that will transcend our lifetime. You know, signed jerseys, works of art, flowery toilets, none of those are going to carry any value into the age to come. Matthew 6. Jesus says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So this leads us to the two parables I wanted to just read briefly here. Matthew 13. Verses 44 through 46, Jesus says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." The gist of these parables is the same. And let's be clear, the message isn't that you better get ready to spend everything you have to be able to buy your way into heaven. That's not the point. But rather, showing just how valuable the gospel, how valuable the sacrifice of Jesus, how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. Everlasting life with God in heaven is so valuable, it is worth everything to secure it. And in doing this, the two people in these short stories, they're demonstrating where their treasure is. What has taken capture of all their attention, what is most important to them. And through that lens, then, of where their treasure is, we get to see where their hearts are as well. Life with and through Jesus was everything. Nothing else mattered. The kingdom of heaven has everlasting value that nothing else does. Our stuff doesn't matter when we die. The only thing that will carry any weight for any one of us here, any person you will ever interact with, the only thing that will carry any weight, have any value, is our righteousness at the end of everything. And we're only going to have righteousness if we have accepted Jesus' sacrifice. I don't remember where I read it, but I remember reading a story about a rich lady who put in her will that when she was buried, she wanted to be buried in her, like, ridiculously expensive car, and she specified she wanted the seat reclined comfortably when she was buried in that car. And it's funny, because... funny in a way, not funny in another way, because she's not rolling into the afterlife in those wheels, right? All that matters now is if she accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. What we have here, the things we ascribe value to, aren't going to carry over. And I hope for many of us that that's not surprising news. You know, I hope that we hear that and we're able to nod and say, yeah, that's true. But I also want to push myself and the rest of us a little further. Not just say, yeah, that's true, but then look at, intrinsically, looking inside, does my life, if that's true, does my life show that I believe that to be true? Does my life show how valuable I really believe the kingdom of heaven is? Do I resemble those people who said, this is the most important thing. I'm going to spend everything I've got, everything I have is going to go towards protecting this. If the truth were to be told, and I think if we were all honest with ourselves, what is most important to me is not always what is most important to Jesus. There are plenty of times, probably more often than not, where I place value on things that have no lasting or intrinsic value. And so the question that I have been asking myself and want to present to you to consider for a time this morning is, how much do I really value the gospel? How much do I value Jesus? How much am I willing to give up for this salvation of infinite and everlasting value? You know, am I willing to make this the one thing that my life revolves around? And it's easy for us to ask questions like that and maybe beat ourselves down when we realize that we don't always do it the way we ought to, that maybe I place a lot of things in front of what is really most important. The purpose of this question isn't for us to shame ourselves or even to give us an ego boost. It's really just to have an honest self-assessment of, where am I in this? What is valuable in my life? And the purpose of this, too, as we consider it and think about it, isn't to push ourselves to try harder either, because that doesn't work. We can't say, well, okay, I see that my life doesn't always show that how much value Jesus has. It doesn't always show what it should there. So I'm gonna read the Bible more. I'm gonna pray more. I'm gonna go to church more. I'm gonna give more. I'm gonna participate more. I'm gonna do all this stuff to show it. Those things are important. Don't get me wrong. But when we change our actions and there's not a heart change on the inside, those things are just gonna ring hollow. You know, they're gonna feel empty. Our district superintendent, one of my superiors, likes to use the phrase whole heart transformation. The idea being, when sin entered the world, our hearts were broken. They became deceitful, evil. And Jesus came to fix what was broken, right? But that's not just our relationship to the Father, but it's also our sinful hearts. You know, earlier we heard in the Matthew 6, what we do, where we value, where our treasure is just a reflection of the state of our heart. So if the things that we value are things that ultimately don't have value, if the kingdom of heaven, if Jesus, if the gospel isn't what is most valuable in my sight, the issue isn't I've got to try harder. The issue is that's a reflection of my heart. That means my heart needs healing. And there's no shame in admitting that. That's why we need Jesus. So we can strive to try and read more and do the right thing and pray more, but if our hearts are not being transformed by the inner working of the Holy Spirit, any changes we make, we're not going to feel a whole lot coming from that. Because what we really need is for the Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts. I mean, the Pharisees did was what was right on the outside all the time. But it came from a place of pride. They looked down on other people. And so Jesus was able to look at them and see that even though they did what was supposedly right, on the inside it was empty. It was hollow. And we can kind of fall into the same trap today. Not exactly the same necessarily, but we want to do what's right on the outside, but it doesn't come from our hearts being transformed. It more comes out of a sense of obligation, or this is what I've got to do to follow Jesus right. So if you look at yourself and say, man, I don't know that I resemble that. Going for broke for the kingdom of heaven. That is the thing of most ultimate value in my life. The solution isn't trying harder. That's not what we need to do. But rather, we want to get to the root of the issue, the heart of the matter, pun absolutely intended. But here's the scary thing, something I've been thinking about a little bit lately, is that heart transformation is not something that you or I have any direct control over, really. The one thing, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can bring that type of transformation, right? I can't fix my broken heart. I'm the reason it's broken. I can't do it. The Holy Spirit can. So the only control that I have, or that you and I have, is how willing we are to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. To open up and submit ourselves to the work of His Holy Spirit. All we can do is say, Lord, I look at myself and I realize that maybe I don't value You like I ought to. But I want to. I want to value You as You really are. You are infinitely valuable for all time. More valuable than anything else in this life. So would You reveal that to me? Help me to understand how valuable You are. I mean, that's a big prayer. That's one we can't control, you know? The only thing we can do is be willing to be teachable and moldable in that. It's a big prayer, but it's one that I think God is willing to work in and through. And let's be real, this isn't something that we're going to have a lightning strike moment where all of a sudden, oh, wow, God is everything to me. That's all I care about. That is the only thing. You know, it's going to be a lifelong learning thing. But it will continually draw us closer to our Creator and Savior. So this morning, we're going to just have some space to deal one-on-one with the Lord, consider those questions, consider the stuff that we've talked about, and really decide where you're at and what you want to do about that. And that's a decision I can't make for you. Maybe as you consider this, you're content with where you are. And or maybe you just don't particularly care and you just want to eat. Shut up, Sam. for me personally, I want to value Jesus more highly. I want to see and grasp more that he is worth everything, that he is infinitely more valuable than anything. And I want that to be reflected in my life. And so if you feel the same way, we're just going to have some time here, just a few moments of quiet to put those desires out there to the Lord. And then after just some time of quiet, I'll go ahead and pray. We'll wrap up this time and just we'll start cooking and pray over the food, all that kind of stuff. So we'll just have a moment of quiet, you one-on-one with the Lord, and then I'll pray after that. Father, I just want to thank you again for this time that we can be together, for the beautiful weather we've got. Father, I ask your blessing over this next period of time as we eat and chat and just have a good time with each other, Lord. May your presence be sensed here in the midst of the camaraderie and relationship building. We just want to dedicate this time to you, Lord. May this be a time of us glorifying you and also building each other up. So we submit it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cool. Well, we're going to get things rolling. We've got hand sanitizer over on the side there just to clean up a little. Snacks are there. Jim's going to get things going and you can help yourself. So whatever.
Eat up.
Go. What are you saying about?